I mean, the most common mistake is thinking that they can go after 50 accounts and just throwing them in there every Monday and then just not doing any sort of personalization, not doing any sort of account deep dive and not really understanding it.
That's Austin Jouet, Senior SDR at Intentify Demand. It generated $2.8 million in revenue in the past 2 years. And in today's episode, you will learn about how to effectively align on your accounts and collaborate on your accounts, develop and implement prospecting techniques, and we will talk also about human-level prospecting. Austin, can you walk us through your initial steps when approaching account-based prospecting?
Yeah, 100%. Thanks for having me on, first off, and everything like that. Glad to be here. But yeah, taking you guys through just high level what I think about whenever I'm going through and approaching account-based prospecting, the first thing that I'm going to be doing every Monday, this is kind of my workflow every week. Every Monday, this front loads my workflow. It's slow at first, but it gets into it. This is why I do this every month, or every Monday, rather. So what I'm doing here is the first step is I'm understanding the ICP, right? What pain points are common with the ICP, et cetera. I want to know everything about this ICP that we're selling into, especially if I'm a newer SDR or even at a newer company as a tenured SDR. Second step there, I'm going to be finding 5 accounts that are within that ICP. And then the third step, correlating to that second step, taking a deep dive into each single one. And what I mean by a deep dive is I'm talking, if they're a public company, I'm talking about their 10K. I'm talking about news reports. Anything to be used is what I like to call business level personalization. This is something that is going to benefit you in a later topic that we're going to talk about in terms of workflows and prospecting at scale. Flowing into a 4th step there, I'm going to be taking each of those after I've taken a deep dive on that Monday. I'm going to find 5 to 7 contacts at each account, go in one by one, add the personalization snippets that you think is relevant to your product, to your offering, anything else that you want to call out. You can find all that on their LinkedIn, socials, anything that's public. You can even use Twitter as an opportunity to find something to personalize to, right? It's not even that. Those are just the 5 steps. That is the baseline. That is what I'm doing every single Monday to front load myself for that week. Getting into it a little bit later on, you'll see what the importance in those factors is.
You mentioned, are you prospecting 5 accounts per week?
Yeah, 5 new ones a week. At any given time, I work a little bit differently than a lot of other SDRs. I'm trying to front load as many as I can. What I mean by that is I have anywhere from 50 to 75 target accounts with 5 to 7 prospects in there at any given time. And each of those accounts is already built out with everything that I need to personalize at scale later on.
What's the size of those accounts? Are they enterprise companies or more than 1,000 employees? Or
the majority of the accounts that I'm actually going to be targeting and am targeting right now, my new company, Intentify Demand, we are actually having a heavy focus on the enterprise segment. So I'm translating everything that I learned from the enterprise segment and demand base over to the current landscape with this newer company.
For the audience, what's enterprise mean for you? Because at some companies, before for me, it was everything above 500 employees. At some other, it's above 5,000 employees.
So. For sure. So the revenue band that we're really targeting right now is 500 million and above on the enterprise segment. That is something that we're kind of working on. So it's a little bit of a niche question for us because we are a smaller company. We're not as established in that kind of workflow yet. And so that's actually something that we're kind of working on currently.
I wanted to ask you a question around, you are saying that you are doing a deep dive on your account. So how much time do you spend per account? And do you have like a checklist to use for each account? Or?
All I'm doing for the account, the checklist that I would have here, let me pull up my little sheet here just so I'm keeping myself honest over here. Every time that I'm doing a deep dive, I'm looking at their ICP. I'm pulling in, and if you guys ever want to learn a little bit more about this, definitely reach out, whatever. But high level, what I'm doing here is, let's say, for example, I'm going after Autodesk. The first thing I'm going to be doing is I'm going to go to Sales Navigator, look at their insights, look at who was hired recently on the executive or C-suite team that's relevant to my product and my solution that's within our ICP. I'm going to pull those, but set those aside for a little bit. Taking the deep dive into the account, then I'm going to go to their website. If it's a publicly traded company, I can easily pull up their 10K. I can copy all that 10K, put that into ChatGPT, and have it spit out specific prompts that I have on a different spreadsheet for my workflows. The prompts that I'm using are very specific to what I care about in my niche. But that's what I'm getting at there. That's the first thing that I'm taking a deep dive on is their ICP. What are they? Who are they selling to? I know that they're in my IC, but now I want to figure out and understand their business. Who are they selling to? Then the second step that I'm going to go over there is anything that's competitor, that's competitor differentiators from them and their specific competitors. Don't care about my company. Don't care about anything like that. I'm comparing them to their competitors and what's differentiating them. That way at scale later on, I can easily personalize at a business level personalization sense what we're doing at our company that's going to benefit them at their company with their roles, with everything that we deep dived into Autodesk. I know that's kind of high level, but I can't really go into it without showing it. I can't show it without showing a little bit of sensitive information, but yeah.
How do you find, for example, you are talking about Autodesk actually. So are you going on the blog of Autodesk to see how they're against their competitors, or do you use a 10K to find this information? So what do you use?
The majority of the time in the 10K reports, they're going to have some kind of a competitor section. So I'm mainly just searching up Control F and just searching competitor. And then I'm going to be taking that entire competitor blurb. This is where it saves me a lot of time. I think a lot of people try and analyze it then and there. Take it, copy it, throw it into ChatGPT, and have it trained on what your product and what your company does ahead of time. Throw it into ChatGPT and say, what is their competitor differentiators that I would care about based on XYZ? ChatGPT is quite literally one of the easiest tools that is overlooked. I know it's got that buzz around it, but I feel like it's just got a buzz, but people don't ever take a deep dive enough into actual what the capabilities are.
ChatGPT, actually, I was using it a lot at my previous company because I was working with in the data space, so working into Snowflake, Databricks, tools like that. I was really lost, I would say, with the buyer persona. So it was hard for me if I was reading a 10K or the transcript of a podcast episode saying, okay, the prospect said this at this, at 5 minutes on the interview, I can use that in my outreach. And so I was using actually ChatGPT to help me, okay, based on the pain points we are solving or the value we are bringing to companies, I was training ChatGPT to say, okay, read the transcript, and from this transcript, find me the challenges, the pain points we can help with, or the value we can bring to them. And I learned a lot with using ChatGPT, actually.
100%. I wish I would have known about it 6 months into my SDR, my first SDR role. It would have made my life a lot easier. But that's quite honestly, that's a common thing that I'll probably be pretty repetitive on throughout this podcast is ChatGPT and the way I use it, for sure.
The thing I really love also, because obviously we're talking about account-based prospecting, it's your approach around the account versus, obviously you are talking about looking for what you can use with your prospect, but something also I realized when I was working in the data space is my buyer personas, they were technical buyer personas, and if you compare to sales leaders or marketing leaders, they are not super active on LinkedIn, so it's not like you can do your research for each prospect, because most of the time I was doing my research and can't find anything about them, so how I'm supposed to personalized to them. So I was doing, like you were saying, about focusing more on the account, finding pains on the account instead of for looking for something for every prospect.
Yeah, I think I always just treat it in two buckets. First bucket is human level personalization. If you can't do that, go to the second bucket, is business level personalization. You have to add some sort of personalization. It cannot just be, hey, X, I'm Y, we do Z. No one's going to respond to that. That's just not how it goes anymore. The days of sending 10,000 emails in a day to the same company and hoping one of the company employees responds back positively, they're gone. They don't exist anymore. So 100%, you're correct. Yeah, absolutely.
You're talking about public trade companies. So if they're public trade companies, you have the 10K reports. But if they don't have the 10K reports, what's your go-to list to research a second?
Go to their website. First thing I do, go to their website. So cliche, but the first thing that you should be doing is go to the website, look up their competitors. Some websites will have their competitors listed, especially if they're not publicly traded, because they want to get their name out there. They want to get to that point to where they are traded. To do that, they need to beat out their competitors. They're always going to be talking about their competitors on there most of the time. And then the second thing that I'm going to be looking at is each of their products and solutions. This way, that's something that I look at specifically for my ICP, is because I, for our lead generation capabilities over here at Intentify Demand, that's something that I care about, right? So you just need to find out something that you guys care about. For example, if you're selling an SEP and you know that it only integrates with XYZ CRM, well, what we can do is we would literally match that install base to prospects that would actually have that CRM and be useful. So keeping it relevant in that regard, like the website is going to tell you all that. There are so many tools out there. There's a tool called BillWith. It's free. You can literally add it on Chrome extension. It'll show you their install base of CRMs, SAPs, everything. Stuff like that is free to use. Go to their website, look at their website, take a deep dive onto that website, understand your ICP and your business. That way, when you get on the phones or even writing an email, you already know on your sheet that we're going to build out in a little bit. You already know at scale, you write XYZ. I saw, you know, your company grow 20%. Or if they're human level prospecting, throw it in ChatGPT. Use it. Use resources to your advantage. That is the main thing that I would like to get a point across for sure.
I love BuildWith actually when you can find the technology on the website of your prospect. Because sometimes also I know on the audience, and sometimes I have questions around this specifically around what do you do if the technology that you're looking for is not on the website. So what do you use? For example, here you are talking about ACP, for example. So what do you use for tech that you can find on the website?
Get on the phones, start loading up the manager level people and the ICs and start getting in there and asking them questions. That's if you have to do it, that's what you got to do as an SDR. You have to think a little bit outside of the box. So if you really want to know, is XYZ using this specific product? Start building out a list of LinkedIn contacts, an automated sequence to literally just ask individual contributors at these companies that you're targeting. Hey, you know, I just can't do it. Trying to work your account. Like, be a human, which is what we'll get into a little bit later. Talk to people, build relationships. You don't have to get a meeting right away. That's what I would recommend there. That's what I do, 100%.
I think obviously the best way to find what they are currently using, because sometimes we do find with using a tool, it's not super accurate sometimes. So it's sometimes they're switching or migrating to another tool. So that's sad. Something I found useful actually when I was working with tools like Snowflake or Databricks. Unfortunately, you can't find that on the website if they're using Snowflake as a data warehouse. And so the way we were using it, it was looking for the keyword on, for example, on LinkedIn under the employees. So for example, if you are typing Snowflake and you are seeing people mentioning Snowflake on their job description, you know that they were using Snowflake. Or maybe also in the job description that the people they are currently hiring, you know that they use Snowflake as a data warehouse. So that's also another thing you could use.
Nice. Well, I didn't even know. that's awesome.
And if you know, you want to know about Salesforce, for example, you have people with Salesforce developer under their the title. So
nice.
I saw when I was preparing the interview, actually, on your LinkedIn profile, you are talking about the SDIE account alignment process, because I imagine with the account-based strategy also, you should be aligned with your AE. So could you explain your account alignment with your AE process, and how do you develop that, and how is it helping you with your prospecting efforts?
This is my bread and butter, if you were to ask me what my bread and butter was. So at DomainBase, my time at DomainBase on the growth segment, I actually ran into a problem where working efficiently and collaborating with my AEs was kind of an issue. So I was coming from an SDR perspective. I'm like, well, hey, I want to hit my numbers. What's the best way I can hit my numbers? So the first thing that I did was, what's a better way that we can collaborate, make this a lot more easy to actually push through deals and get to the money a little bit quicker on both ends, SDR and AE. Okay. What I did there is I found out spreadsheets were my jam. I wasn't really using spreadsheets at that time. So I started using them and I found out a very easy way to segment, because I ran into an issue. I had five AEs at the time, at one time. Five AEs is a lot, even in a growth segment. That's a lot to juggle with different personalities, different pitch styles, different accounts, different industries. So it was just a lot, right? So the easiest thing that what I did there is I came up with a way to have all of our account document notes in one sheet where I have individual tabs for each specific AE and their specific accounts. So alongside, I also have my own little sheet within the spreadsheet that is all, it's a catch-all, if you will, of all the accounts that I'm actively working, not just separated by the AE. That way, when I'm going through and cold calling or doing emailing, I have one sheet of all my accounts that I'm actively working on. I'm working about 50 to 75 at a time. That's manageable. That's one of the key things that we learned as well, is keeping a very manageable book of business, especially as an SDR, working with so many AEs. That way, all the accounts that I'm working on, whenever I'm doing cold calling, everything, I have everything at my tips, right? Doing the work on the front end to reap the rewards on the back end. That is what I say every single time anyone asks me why I did that. having a methodical and organized approach has led to a way smoother handoff process of qualified leads that are actually converting and leading to revenue. I think that a lot of SDRs and AE alignments, they have a lot of drop-offs to leads that convert to revenue, or stage gates even for that matter, because you guys don't have, a lot of people don't get trained on having a process with, hey, after you pass off a lead to an AE, you should probably continue to follow that lead and make sure that you're getting paid on it as the SDR, right? Because the way that a lot of our comp structures are is exactly that. We don't get paid until the meeting happens or the meeting's qualified. Obviously, I would hope that the majority of us SDRs want to make sure that those meetings are qualified and they're moving along. So having that account process, which again, we'll show you guys a little bit later on, just a templated spreadsheet that you guys can use as well. Having that sort of process, very high level, it's going to save you guys a lot of time and pain, and it will greatly increase your relationships with your account executives as well.
On your spreadsheet, do you connect it to your CRM, or is it more like you are manually updating it?
So I manually update it. Everything. It's a little bit of a niche situation for me, but even at demand base using SFDC, I still use manual on the spreadsheets. I know a lot of people are probably cringing at that right now, but I'm telling you right now, you do it. The reason why it's very important that you should be doing more things manually is because every time that you're writing things down, even on pen and paper, you're typing it down and you're typing notes down on an account, your brain is constantly thinking about that. So whenever you're in a sheet and you're living in it and you're doing a cold call block and you know Autodesk and you've connected with five people over the last 2 weeks at Autodesk, well, hell, you have their ICP, their competitor intelligence, you have all of your other notes from the other previous conversations at your hands. That's why I know I'm harping on it a little bit, but that's something that I really think that a lot of people should be doing more often. And of course, there's always ways to push all that to your CRM. Do that on the back end, do that later. Focus on what you can control right now. Focus on what you can do later. That's kind of been my mindset going throughout that process right now.
We'd love to see the spreadsheet because we're talking about it. So do you want to share the screen?
Yeah, 100%. Let me share my screen. This is quite literally high level. Obviously, I wish I could show you guys what it would look like built out. I just can't do that. There's a lot of sensitive information on some of the accounts that I'm working right now. But high level, I'm going to go through each of these columns. Column A, account name. Just throw in the account name, right? Status on the column B, this is something that I implemented at the beginning of this year, actually. This was very easy. First off, what I was doing was I was color coding. Like if I didn't want to reach out to an account, I would just do red. Or if I already had a meeting with an account, I had green. Now what I have here is quite literally just a drop-down menu. Okay, opportunity, you're working the account, it's pending, you're nurturing the account, they're disqualified, they're in an SQL stage, prospect, disco, whatever, all customized. The reason, why am I reaching out to this account? This is something that I'm filling out in the top five accounts on every Monday that I'm pulling into this sheet, right? I know that they are a good fit, or if they're the disqualified account, the reason is they're closed lost, right? I know not to hit them for a little bit. I have all of these different stage gates here. This way, it's very easy for me to go into this account sheet when I'm on cold calls or looking to prospect midweek, pull out all the ones that are DQ'd, whatever, right? This makes it very easy. Then what I have here is I have a section with AE notes. This is where the AE collaboration really comes into play. I share this and I make it very clear, and I do not position it in a way where it's going to increase your account executive's workload. Because let's be honest, if you go to your account executive and say, here's the sheet, I want you to keep up with it all the time with me, they're not going to do it. They don't have time for that. Set up a biweekly sync. That is whenever you guys would be going through this. Now, the reason why I have this here in the AE notes, if the AE is also doing prospecting, which the majority of the time AEs are doing now, they can come in here, add their own little notes, or if they're doing their own cold calling block or emailing block, they can come into the sheet, they live in it. I've built everything out for them. They don't have to do any of this. I'm doing it for them. Then I'm gonna have my SDR notes and next steps or anything like that. So for example, if I'm on a cold call with Autodesk and I got off with the VP of marketing and she said, hey, I want you to reach out to XYZ on the demand generation side of the house. I'm gonna go in here and write XYZ, reach out to XYZ. Like, that is what I'm going to be doing. That way, me and my AE are both aligned. As soon as I do that, after I hang up on that call, I'm also pinging my account executive on Slack, Teams, whatever form of communication that you guys use, and letting them know, hey, I just connected with XYZ. I already put the notes in the doc. Here's what I have. Do you want to tag team something? Or is this valuable information where we can hit someone else that you've been hitting? It's constant collaboration that is key. Do not be afraid to waste your AE's time. You're not. The only thing that would be wasting their time is if you told them straight up, hey, I want you to fill out this account sheet. They're not going to do that, right? Like, treat it as a partnership. You are not their boss. They're not your boss. Partners. Peers. Then I have next steps here, which we just touched on. And then I have anything to do with, this is whenever I'm doing my Mondays. I'm going through here. I'm doing anything to do with account personalization. I know exactly what that account does, who they're selling into, their target addressable, their total addressable market, their competitors. I'm doing everything on the front end. That way I know if they have any active competitors that we are currently working with, I can say that in my outreach. Hey, we're already working with XYZ. They see us as a good company. You might as well too, right? And then I have over here active opportunity, just to make sure that was actually before I added in the status column. So you guys can throw that out. But that is quite literally the tracking in terms of opportunity. And then did you have any questions on in terms of that page before I touch on this one?
Yeah. Can you go back on the first tab?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So can you click on status to see what you have? So you have, yeah, working. What's 101? Is it like 101 when you want to talk with your AE or something else?
Status of the 101 is like whenever I know that I want it to be talked about in my bi-weekly scene coming up, I'm going to put it on a 101 column. That way I can just immediately go through there. And then that way they know ahead of time, okay, he's going to want to talk about these accounts.
Okay. Now let's go to reasons. That was a reason. So here you have it. For example, for AE top 3 or AE top 5, is it the AE giving you that's one of their top 5 accounts, for example? Or
100%. So that would be labeled as the account that your AE has given you and he said, these are my top 5 accounts. He or she said, those are my top 5 accounts. Work them. That way I know those are differentiated between the ones that I'm prospecting.
MQA, is it marketing qualified account?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so how do you define that?
So that was actually defined previously by demand base's marketing team. But over here on my end, anything that's considered a marketing qualified account, that's something that we're actually working on right now in terms of identifying. Our product at the new company is quite literally able to be used with the majority of companies out there. So we're trying to figure out those stage gates right now. But the reason why I still have them in here is because once we get to those stage gates, I will be utilizing that specific column a little bit more.
Okay. And Shark Week, I imagine that's something from Demand Base.
Yeah, so that's something I'm going to be bringing on over here for sure. Shark Week is basically the week in one week in a quarter where you are going ham. You and your entire revenue org are all dialing. You're all emailing everyone. I'm talking CRO, CEO, everyone's involved. That way, whenever I'm tagging these accounts, like, I'm making a separate spreadsheet on that week. And I am like the week ahead, like, that's a whole different thing. That's a whole different account process, to be honest. But yes, you're correct. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. No, that was good. Thanks for sharing this. I think it's specifically to improve your relationship with an AE. I think having this spreadsheet, it's super good. So,
100%. I think I've worked with 9 AEs now, and I think eight of the nine have all came to me and said that this sheet was something that they never even thought of, they loved, and was easy in terms of collaborating with their new SDR. Like, I'm saying right now, if you were to come in, the first thing that I do and that I've been doing ever since I built this process out, when I get put with a new AE anywhere, I run through this entire, literally what we just did, I run through it with them very high level. I say, this is what I'd like to do. Does this make sense? Like, does this help you or this hinder you? Always get their opinion, because if it's going to hinder them and they're already doing something similar to this, just use their sheet and incorporate what I just showed you into their sheet. Collaborate with your AE, be a partner. That's the main thing for sure.
And what's the second tab actually? So opportunity tracking template. So
yeah, so this opportunity tracking template here is, I mean, obviously, like I mentioned earlier, we SDRs, we want to make sure we're getting paid. I love to be meticulous on how my deals are moving. I'm heavily involved in all their deal processes from the moment I cold call and book a meeting to the moment that the procurement has been signed. Everything, I'm in that whole process. So I like to take that deep dive into it. I'm going in, making sure that I know the date that it was booked, the meeting date that's going to happen, notes from that cold call or the email on how I booked that meeting, anything relevant, the opportunity link in the CRM, who's rep, like the rep name, and then the link to a cold call. The majority of my wins come from cold calls. I think about 95% of them right now. So the majority of the time, I'll just put that cold call link in there. I'll have AI summarize it, and that's going to be what I put into the notes section. That is whatever. Yeah.
You are mentioning earlier, we are talking about being comped on meetings books. At Demand Base, were you comped on meetings book, creating opportunity created, or also source revenue?
Yes. So we got gold on a little bit of a different bucket in each, if you will, but hopefully I'm not going too into the weeds. But high level, what it was is SQL at demand base was a sales qualified lead. That's whenever you would book a meeting, the meeting hasn't happened, but it's qualified. You cold called someone, you did not get paid on that. The way that you would get paid is in two buckets, discovery calls and demo stages. So whenever a call went to discovery stage, I booked it, that meeting happened, it was qualified. That would be one stage gate. You'd get paid a specific portion on that. Then on the demo stage, once the discovery call moves to a demo stage where the AE or the account executive is actually pitching, doing a demo and not just qualifying out the prospect, that is a separate bucket that we get paid on as full credits on that op. Then the third bucket is a closed one bonus. I won't say that percentage just in case, but there is a closed one bonus percentage, assuming that that deal did close. The deal cycle's there. The average deal size was anywhere from 50 to 100,000. And the deal sizes, they took about 3 to 6 months to close.
Now I wanted to focus more also on your relationship with AEs, because having the spreadsheet is great to have this to improve your relationship with AEs. And you are talking about having a biweekly one-on-one with them. Do you have other ways to improve your relationship with your account executives?
I just think that the open communication is honestly, and we'll touch on it a little bit, it just goes back to the being human thing, to be honest. I think a lot of newer SDRs that are a little bit wet behind the ears, which not on them, it's not on their leadership either, it's just new to them. I think a lot of people are just scared to collaborate with people that are in account director positions that are above them, especially newer SDRs. They just really don't understand that you can collaborate with them and treat them like a partner instead of just like you're working for them almost, because that's really not how it is. And if you're in a spot like that, I encourage you to really take a look at it and from an outside perspective and position it as what I just mentioned. I know that's probably not the answer you're looking for, but that's honestly, that quite literally is what I would say to get better communications is treat them like you just met someone at a bar that you want to be friends with for the next 5 years. Like, just treat them like a friend. That is going to build your relationship more than any spreadsheet would do.
And actually, if you are talking about being a human being, so, and I know that's something you wanted to talk about today. So it's human level prospecting, actually. So how do you approach that with your prospects? So how do you structure a conversation to be more engaged and productive with your prospect?
Human level prospecting is something that I'm trying to come up with. You know, I'm sure the name's been around for a little bit, but something that I'm trying to coin a little bit on. So honestly, the easiest thing that I think of whenever I say human level prospecting is just being genuinely curious about these folks. They know you're about to pitch them, especially if you just connected with them on LinkedIn. Like, they know that at some point, even if you are being friendly or just a human with them, that they know your job is to do sales. And that's what LinkedIn platform is used by a ton of SDRs and AEs on, right? The key here, especially all the black back and forth, the key here is literally just ask them for advice or help as a starting point. Like, genuinely be curious, especially if you're newer in an SDR role at a company that you're not familiar with or a product. Like me, for example, I'm coming from a role where I was very tenured, did very well, generated $2.8 million in revenue. But now I'm in a company where I don't know the offerings. So my first thing that I'm doing is I'm going to my network and all my ICP and I'm asking them a simple question. Hey, I just joined this company. And I know this is completely out of the blue, but I'm just genuinely curious. Do you mind if I ask you a few questions based on what my ICP would care about and see what the pain points are in the industry right now. You know, obviously I know you're my ICP. I'm not really trying to pitch you right now. I will in a month or two, wink, wink, make a joke out of it and just ask a question. Say, do you have a couple minutes for me to just ask you a couple questions whenever you got a minute or something along the lines of that, right? The majority of the time, these people are going to answer back to you. And the reason why psychologically is because people like to talk about themselves. People are going to respond back to you if you're just genuinely curious about their role, their job, their life. People like talking about themselves. So just be genuinely curious. These people know that. Then you can work it in as you're going. And the thing is here, it's not to get a quick win. I mean, I had a very good conversation with the global demand generation leader over at Google. Whenever I first joined my company, literally day one, October 16th, my new company, I asked him, I said, hey, I just joined the company and asked him that question I just mentioned. We had a conversation for about 2 weeks back and forth. He came in inbound. We had a really good, outbound, but we had a very good conversation, and it's going to be turning into a large cycle and campaign and deal and conversation and everything like that. I know I just blurted out words, but hopefully that makes sense. That's kind of what I'm getting a point across, is just being human. I mean, roundabout way, just be a human.
Yeah. And I think the thing also, what you are trying to do is to, for your focus, more on getting help, trying to understand them. So instead of just trying to pitch. And I think that's why the prospect are more receptive to this, because people are more receptive to that, to help someone, for example, when they are more genuine about you and they want you to understand your situation.
People know what you're trying to do at all times. Just have that in the, even if they don't, have that in the forefront of your mind. It will make your life a lot easier in terms of selling.
Okay, if we talk about the soft skills, that why an SDR is super, the top SDR or an AE, for example, is being curious, because here you are more focused around really to asking questions to understand this. And I think that's super important here.
100%.
A question more around focus at your time at Demand Base. So what have been your key learnings from generating 2.8 million revenue at Demand Base?
Key learnings there, stay on top of your prospects. I mean, 100%, you hear it everywhere. You hear Trent Russell say it 24/7 on Fridays on LinkedIn. I will say, you know, generating $2.8 million in revenue at Demand Base, that has been one thing that's been a common theme, is the only deals that have converted were the deals that I, as the SDR, were also coming over the top on AE notes. Let's say, for a live example, we had at Demand Base specifically, there was one deal at XYZ company where I had sourced 3 months go by, the demo was happened, they were in a contract stage, the AE had some drop off. Well, turns out that person was just let go. The AE wasn't going through and trying to back channel. So I obviously, as the SDR, wanted to get paid. This is the difference where a lot of the SDRs that I know will just leave it be. It's the AE. No, it's a collaboration. It's a partnership. So I took it ahead of my time. I went ahead and just reached back out proactively to the account, started reaching out, following up throughout the account saying, hey, we already had this meeting with XYZ. Here's what XYZ was said. You know, sorry to see that they were let go, but this was definitely top of mind. Let's reconnect. Then that meeting came back and they rebooked it. They closed about 3 months later. Things like that, that is something that I mean whenever I'm talking about following up, not specifically just in a cadence. Here's the thing. You can have a cadence for XYZ persona, a cadence for that persona, cadence for that persona. Cadences are cadences. Like, it's our luck. And I hate saying that. It's luck with the side of actual work, and the actual work that's coming in is like maybe 5% of the meetings that you'll book. And that's what we were talking about earlier, but it's not even that, it's focusing on what you can control, right?
Something you mentioned here that I forgot, and for me, it took me a few years, because I think an issue we're making with a lot of SDR, so it's with the SDR AE function, generally what's happening is, okay, we book the meeting and that's it, and that's over. But I think specifically for enterprise accounts, it doesn't work this way, because the problem is, like you were mentioning earlier, you have like a prospect who had laid off, for example, and you took the initiative and you are accountable on this account and you help them. But I think for enterprise accounts, that's super interesting to think about this differently, because I know in early stage companies, generally, you don't have this, how do you say that? As they are not comped on getting more meetings than just one, generally they're only paid for one. And that's it. And where an enterprise account, you should pay just for one meeting. Because if you are going after Google, like you were saying earlier, maybe one team is not enough to have a deal signed, for example.
And I'm glad you actually brought that up, because the different business units, especially if you are in some smaller, not small businesses, but mid-market accounts even have different business units within them. It's mid-market and enterprise are mainly the ones that have different business units for sure. But it's if you've gotten in with a business unit, use that name. That's something that I did a lot of demand base for that 2.8. Use their name and outreach to a different business unit. And the way that I know who those business units are is my front loading with what I showed you guys earlier. I already know that. I didn't have to go research that or ask them. I already did that 3 to 6 months ago, right? That saved me time. Just go reach out to the new business units. You're already working with some of them. You know it's relevant. You know their company is interested. Expand. So that's, I'm glad you brought that up. I agree with that 100%.
We are almost at the end of the interview, actually. So I have 3 more questions and before we wrap up. So the first one is, what resources do you recommend for SDRs looking to improve their prospecting skills? And you can't say your newsletter.
I won't. Honestly, it might sound cliche too, but honestly, I'm going to say LinkedIn. I live on LinkedIn. I truly do. LinkedIn is where I'm going. I've kind of curated over the past year and a half of building my personal LinkedIn brand. I've curated this following of a network of people that are in my similar space, SDRs, AEs in a tech or SaaS or software as a service role, where I'm getting a lot of intriguing and interesting new strategies and on the ground, boots on the ground, like strategies that are actually working from people that are at top companies like Salesforce, Google, stuff like that. LinkedIn has been my number one thing. I think not even that, that's the resource, but the way that I would recommend using that resource, taking a step deeper, is get a notebook, write down some new emails, get on Docs, write some emails, pull up on one monitor LinkedIn posts that you want to take apart and try in your strategy. Take it apart, put it into a new doc on the side on a second monitor, combine the two, use ChatGPT. That is the kind of stuff that I am doing constantly. I'm taking snippets from LinkedIn, I'm throwing it in ChatGPT with my learned model with my company and saying, hey, articulate this back in a way that would recommend to Intentify Demand and to an ICP that I care about. Like, it's rephrasing stuff from LinkedIn and using it as your own. There's something that I learned in door-to-door my time there, is something that my old boss told me about, was to take pieces of every single top rep that you've ever seen and had a conversation with and build it into and bake it into your own strategy. That is going to be what is going to set you apart from every single other seller in the entire world.
Completely aligned on this. That's something I think, obviously, talking to the performers, that's a really good way to really accelerate your learning and your performance. Question, because you are saying about LinkedIn specifically, who do you recommend to follow, for example, or who are you following on LinkedIn?
Yeah, no. So, I mean, obviously the Lavender team is one of the people that I always recommend following just as a newer SDR in terms of emailing tactics. But Jed, I'm trying to find his last name right now just to make sure I actually know it. I might be mispronouncing this, but his name is Jed Marl. He was with a company called Mailshake for a little bit. He owns his own company called Practical Prospecting. What I was just telling you about how I pull snippets from LinkedIn and ChatGPT a lot, I'm using a lot of his content. There's another person called Skyler who is more for AI. Kind of messaging and everything like that. I'm trying to find his name as well. Sky Snad. I can't pronounce his name. I might be mispronouncing it, but he is, he's someone that's more on the AI side of the house. He posts a lot about automating workflows through Clay, automating email personalization tools, actually something that I'm going through right now with him. But yeah, no, those are the two top people that I follow right now.
What are some common mistakes SDR make in account-based prospecting, and how can they avoid them?
What are some mistakes that SDR is making in account-based prospecting? I mean, the most common mistake is just thinking that they can go after 50 accounts and just throwing them in there every Monday, and then just not doing any sort of personalization, not doing any sort of account deep dive, and not really understanding it. I think that a lot of SDRs think that they can get away with it in the sense of, I'm going to go find 10 or 15 accounts, load them up on Monday, and start prospecting them as I go throughout the week. I think a lot of people do that. And a lot of the times what it's going to happen is it's going to inundate and backlog your task queue. I mean, one day you're going to have meetings back to back for 5 hours and you don't get through all your meetings. So then you're a day behind. Do it all on Monday. Block it out. Like, that is something that I see a lot of people especially newer SDRs make a mistake on, is thinking that they can get so much done quickly, when it's just, we're not in a role that you get things done quickly. You don't get quick wins anymore. It's just not the expectation. And that's what I would say.
And what advice would you give to new SDRs who are just starting out in a account-based perspective?
Use the Google Sheet template that you can get from us. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, seriously, it's quite literally building out an account dossier process. The first thing that I would do, especially if you're getting started with account-based prospecting, sync up with your AEs, whether that's one, whether that's five, sync up with them. Get an idea. Get their top 10 accounts, then start building it off of that. Start building an account dossier process. That's 100%. Everyone should be doing that. I know it's been a broken record on this call, this podcast, but that is something that I've seen success, and that's why I've seen constant success. That's why all the top SDRs and top AEs, that's what they all do. It's what works. That's the advice that I would give you.
Well, Rustin, thank you so much for being on the show today. Before we end the episode, do you have anything else you want to share with the audience? Obviously, we'll include your newsletter in the description. But
you're good. Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, guys, I think that the only thing that I want to leave everyone with that I think is very important in a selling role is treat people with respect. People are going to treat you with respect, and if they don't, that's okay. You move on. You know, it's a cold calling role. I think that if you are treating people with respect, you are doing human level prospecting, you're treating them with genuine curiosity, the results will come. They may not come super quickly. Don't be discouraged. I highly encourage you guys to continue on, and you'll see the results. Just put in the work. That's all I got to say, for sure. Don't be afraid.
Thank you so much for being on the show and for everyone listening. I see you on the next episode.
Absolutely.
If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. So for Spotify, to leave a review, what you can do is you can use your phone, then go on the Spotify app, then you go to the SDR Game page, and then at the top of the page, you can leave a review. It's a 5-star review if you enjoyed the episode, obviously. And then if you are listening to this episode on Apple Podcasts, feel free also to leave a review on your app. Thanks for listening, and I see you on the next episode.